This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Big, big day down in the States. July 4th down in the States.
4th of July.
4th of July,
4th
yes.
of July.
I'm showing my Canadian by saying July 4th down in the States. Go ahead, Gord. Do we have to? I don't have to bring you in every day. Everyone knows you're
okay,
in here.
Okay.
It's Gord Miller.
Okay.
No, you've got a very distinctive voice.
I was waiting for you. So I think one of the most amazing things in history is that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, who co-authored the Declaration of Independence, both died 50 years to the day.
I saw that.
July 4th, 1826.
I read that yesterday.
Isn't that amazing?
That is statistically borderline impossible.
Yeah,
and that, because 50 years to the day, they both died in the same day.
Yeah, and Adams was on his deathbed and said, is it the 4th? And his son said, yes. He says, Thomas Jefferson still lives, but Jefferson had actually just died.
Really?
But it's not, I mean, people say
that's why you need Twitter back in the day.
People would say it's ironic. It's not. It's coincidental, right? It's a total coincidence. But it's amazing to me that that's. So happy July the 4th.
Yes, happy July the 4th up here. And the reason I bring that up is obviously a big day in the States. And I love the States. And I've been in the States many times throughout my life, probably not nearly as many times as you have been traveling over the years. But I got to say, this is maybe my least favorite day in terms of images online. Because I have to deal with this disgusting Joey Chestnut character every single year, eating hot dogs like a repulsive pig. It's disgusting. It drives me nuts just seeing the image. I can't watch the video. I've not watched these people do this today.
And you know what? The Guinness Book of Records has a thing now where they don't sanction records that are dangerous. Like a guy ate a bicycle or something. They don't sanction that. Eating that many hot dogs? Didn't someone die trying it a few years ago? Not the Coney Island one, but another one.
It wouldn't surprise me. Well, because they do this for every single type of food, right? But this guy he ate 74 hot dogs today with the bun.
Yeah.
So 74 hot dogs, 74 buns. That is a new record for him.
In how many?
I don't even know what the time is.
Isn't it like three? Is it 5 minutes?
It's quick. Look that up. I mean, I like that I'm ignorant to that information because I honestly cannot watch it.
74
I can't watch
minutes.
It.
74 in 10 minutes, Tyler Hunt tells us, our producer. So
that sounds about right.
So that's,
7.4 per minute. How disgusting is that?
There's a thing at, what's the place at St. Clair and Yonge, the burger place? Whataburger, something like that. It's a great burger spot. And they've got this like crazy burger that if you eat it with the trimmings, you and a friend eat for free.
That's become a big thing in Toronto.
I've looked at the picture.
Borderline impossible to eat.
No, but the people that have done it, like, it's not 300-pound guys doing it. Like, this Joey Chestnut guy is not a big guy.
No. Right? No, and listen, there are men and women that do this. I interviewed a woman a few years ago who had set the record, I want to say, for the amount of ribs eaten in 10 minutes. And she was, like, 120 pounds, 5'4". And I guess her boiler just, it expands when it needs to expand. And this woman went to town on... rack of ribs.
There was a steak place in, I want to say Philly, maybe Pittsburgh, that had a deal that if you, party of four, if one of you ate this 72-ounce steak with the trimmings, your group ate for free.
I think that was in Pittsburgh, and I think I honestly was in that spot.
I think it's Carlton Steakhouse in Pittsburgh is the one.
I feel like I was there.
And the guy, I saw a guy that did it. He's like 5'10". 160 pounds. Like, Steelers couldn't do it. Penguins couldn't do it. Like, steel workers, like, big construction guys couldn't do it. This guy was like a 5'10" lawyer, and he scarfed down, what is that, like 4 pounds of meat? No, more than that. It's 4.5 pounds of meat, right?
Oh. And the best thing is, again, it's so that you can do it for free. Like, they don't pay you to do this.
No.
There isn't some prize. It's not for $10,000 or $50,000. It's eat like this. Feel like a slob for the next 48 hours, and I guess we won't charge you for it. But if you leave one speck on the plate, that's going to be $99.99 or whatever it is, plus tip.
Whatever it is.
You know, like, it's just, it's absurd. And it's so, It's so American. Believe me, we're on top of it, too, up here in Canada. There are different parts of the world where you have to, like the third world. People in the third world must be looking at this and being like, are you serious? Send those 74 hot dogs over here.
Yeah.
Why is this guy devouring this as a sport? And it's become synonymous with the 4th of July.
And the Twitter, and since, like, Darren Rovell from ESPN tweets about it all the time.
Right.
He tweets the lead up and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm repulsed by the whole thing. Like, call me a downer, call me a loser. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Firstly, I don't like hot dogs anyway.
No.
So I'm not a hot dog guy to begin with. But to watch people just stuff their face, if they want to do it, go ahead. It's a free world. But to televise it, and it was on TSN this afternoon.
Was it on TSN?
Absolutely, TSN. Wow. I watched the preamble.
I guess we should back off.
No, I don't like it. I will be the first to admit it. We've spent 5 minutes admitting it. And I don't know what kind of ratings you're doing on a Wednesday at noon anyway. I have no idea in terms of what this is doing on, I think it's on ESPN in the States. It's on TSN up here. But it's become a big part of the program down there.
I'm actually feeling sick just thinking about it. Like your visual imagery is actually...
I can't do it, man. I cannot do it. Anyway, we got a big show coming up
today.
We
do have a big show today.
Massive. Zach Hyman's going to be in studio in about 15 minutes.
I could have sworn I saw him on the weekend, but apparently I didn't because he was out of town on the weekend.
Well, he's here now.
There's a guy who is a... So Zach Hyman, I go to the Burger Shack a lot. So I like... My life isn't all about burgers, but South Street Burger Shack.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big... autograph picture of Zach Hyman, and we always joke about because he's
not from that area though.
No, but
you're talking about the Burger Shack at Young and Eglinton Avenue and Eglinton.
Yeah, and he's a god there.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Why? I don't understand that.
Well, he's a West End kid, right?
I thought he was from the north of the city. I have been.
Well, North Toronto Arena's right there. Maybe he played there a lot and went
right. And that's Tom Wilson, which I kind of resent that Tom Wilson has become the guy that owns North Toronto Arena. That arena is, but I played out of that arena. I should be known as the guy who played
Brian
at that
Hayes,
arena.
Should be Brian Hayes Arena?
Yes, but Lindros played there. Like so many different great kids played there growing up in terms of the GTHL and MTHL, et cetera. But I lived, I'm not kidding you, a 56-degree wedge away from the Burger Shack.
I do now.
Oh, that's that. I thought you were on the other side of Yonge Street.
I live a 60-degree wedge from.
Okay.
I'm on the. Well, I'm not. Won't give up my address.
Yeah, but we know where. Okay, I got.
I'm west of Yonge.
Okay, I thought you were on the other side. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So,
but it's a great spot.
I'm on the side that got me stuck at that water main break.
Right.
At Mount Pleasant and Eglinton.
Well, Eglinton's been a disaster for years. I got out of there just at the right time before they started building the.
It's going to be good when it's done. That cross.
Well, you have to do it. I mean, that's the thing.
I can come here.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get up here.
I think you can. I think you can take that. We'll be able to take that to get to the... Because I take the subway to the Leaf games all the time, right?
Yeah, that's the best way.
Take the subway.
Jump on right to Union, walk in. It's perfect.
25 minutes for $3.50, mm-hmm. $3.75. You can't...
Is it up to $3.75? I haven't been on the TTC in years.
My wife has tokens, so I just... It's actually
just steal her tokens?
The worst thing I do is I grab a handful of tokens, and then when she's going to work in the morning, hey, where's my tokens?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I use those.
Hmm. I think they're coming out with the card system eventually.
Well, they have
aren't they?
The Presto thing now.
Yeah,
I don't understand why we can't have that. Like they have it in London, right? The it's called an Oyster card.
Yeah.
So the further you go, the more you pay. It doesn't make sense to me that if you get on the subway at Finch and go down to Union, you pay the same as I do.
Eglinton to Davisville.
Like it's the same. For
it
everybody.
Makes no sense. So it's never made any sense.
So in London, you swipe your card when you get on. Swipe your card when you get off. You get charged for the distance of the trip.
I think they do that in New York, D.C. Yeah. They do it all over the place.
Yeah.
It just, for whatever reason, the TTC has not come around to that. But I think eventually they will. I hope they will anyway. Anyway, we can't complain about them actually building the infrastructure.
No.
When all we do is complain that there isn't enough infrastructure in the city. So, shout out to Eglinton, the Burger Shack. We'll see what, I got to get to the bottom of that. Because I don't know how Zach Hyman is so famous.
You drop Zach Hyman's name at the Burger Shack, the doors fly open.
I'll get into it. We'll get into it with him in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
He'll be in studio.
Maybe he could eat 74 burgers.
Yeah, that could be it. Maybe set the record for burgers. Great burgers there. Great burgers. That's enough free plugs for them, though. We got Kyle Dubas on the show.
Yeah.
Ross Atkins coming up later in the hour. You were talking about this as you walked in, this piece. And was it the Star or the CBC that wrote this morning?
It was the Star this morning. About the government on the tickets?
Yeah. So Doug Ford is now in office, and... I believe it was supposed to kick in July, placing a limitation on ticket prices on the secondary market.
On the resale market.
On the resale market. And Doug Ford has walked in, and one of the first things he's done is said, we're abolishing this new legislation, and the reasoning behind it is we don't think we can actually crack down on this.
It's really hard, because now with the internet, I mean, you don't have to go to Ticketmaster, you don't have to go to, you know, for secondary, you can go, you know, some guy can just put it up there on Twitter or on Reddit or whatever, or on Kijiji, whatever you want. The secondary market is interesting. Years ago, Cliff Fletcher, his first time around in Toronto, wanted to make the Grays at the Gardens kind of the league average price. He wanted to make sure that, you know, he thought that, you know, a family of four could get in for a reasonable amount of money. The problem was scalpers paid people to stand in line to buy those tickets. They got them all and made all the money. The problem with the Leaf, especially the Leaf market, is that the guys that scalp the tickets get their hands on them. And so they control the flow of the tickets. So they restrict the tickets that are available. They have them all. And so they're able to charge higher prices.
Well, and it's not exclusive to the Leafs. This is a serious problem. But
concerts.
Well, honestly, Gord, and it's not like when the Stones are rolling through. This is a true story. The Wiggles are coming back to the Greater Toronto Area in the fall. They're here like twice a year. And I'm in that Wiggles zone here. I've got a 2.5-year-old
at home. Your child is in the Wiggles zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's make this clear.
I'm a big Lockie fan. I'm a super fan of the Wiggles. And my daughter's already been to like three different concerts.
Right.
Emma and Lockie were just here, and we had to go to that, and they were here back in the fall or whatever. Anyway, long story short, they're rolling through town. If you don't get tickets within minutes of it going online, all the scalpers pick it up and they place it online, which is so egregious. It feels scummier to me. Like, it's one thing where it's like, if we're dealing with adults here, you know, going to the Leaf game, I don't like it necessarily. I can understand it. And if people are willing to pay for it, go for it. And this is the free market to an extent, although, again,
They're restricting it.
They're restricting it, and I do believe they should. But, like, if we're talking about kids' concerts, people are jumping on those and making people pay that a two-year-old can't go.
Scalpers are restricting is what I'm saying. They're buying up all the tickets.
Yes.
And they're restricting the market.
Well, regardless of what it is.
They're the reason there's no tickets available.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. They're buying them all, but then they're trying to resell them at double or triple the price. And people are going to pay them. But, again, like, I took that personally. For the first time in my life, I have bought tickets off the secondary market. We're going to London in the fall. I really want to get to a soccer match. I'm going to pay probably whatever it's going to cost me. It's more than likely going to cost me a fortune.
It's not that bad, actually. You'd be surprised. It's not that bad.
I hope you're right, but when I looked at last night, we're talking like Tottenham's hosting Man City the Saturday I'm there. I'm expecting to pay through the roof. But I think it'll be worth it because it's a bucket list item. I want to do it. I'm going to be over there. To go to White Hart Lane and to watch those two teams would be spectacular.
You really don't go to White Hart Lane, do you?
Hmm?
You want to go there?
Is that what it's called? I don't even know. Did I just make that up?
No, you don't want to go to Arsenal?
I don't think they're at home that weekend.
Just saying.
I don't really care. I don't have a team. Do you have a team? Yeah, is Arsenal your team? Arsenal.
Okay. I'm kidding because Arsenal fans have, you know, Arsenal has this new stadium and they always joke that Tottenham plays in a stadium made of tin.
Well, whatever it is, I'm going.
It won't be that bad. Here's the funny thing about buying from scalpers. If you have the nerve to wait, if you can wait until puck drop,
right,
tip, you know, the first act going on, you'll get some tickets.
But you got to show up for those.
Yeah, but it takes jam to stand there and wait because you might get shut out.
And you also might get really screwed over there because what can happen when you're talking person to person, that's when you get counterfeit. Yeah. If it's online and it's through StubHub or a reputable spot, you've got insurance.
Yeah.
If you walk up to a guy and it's halfway through the first, he's like, yeah, I got a pair for you. You get up to the door and they're counterfeit. You're never going to see that guy again.
I was at the Raptors-Oklahoma City game this year, and the guy sitting next to me with his son, or just in front of us, with his son, had counterfeit tickets. And so the people that showed up, he got into the building, which surprised me.
Really?
But the guy showed up with the regular tickets, and they looked at them and said, yours are fake.
Which is such a bummer because...
Oh, maybe they were stolen. Whatever it was, I think that whatever it was, there had been some kind of reprint done, and they tossed
them. Well, that could have been it. Stolen, and then whoever stole it sold them.
Yeah.
And that guy's out of cash, and he's kicked out of the ring.
It's because teams monitor what the resale market is, right? Like teams and promoters. Concerts especially. Have you looked at what concert tickets cost lately?
Yeah, they're outrageous.
Like, if you haven't been for a while, I was amazed when Madonna played two shows a couple of years ago in Toronto. Her take on those two nights was close to $15 million. Mm-hmm.
We were at Keith Urban last weekend, and it was like $130 a ticket or something like that.
Where were you?
We were. It was at the amphitheater.
No, where were you sitting? Like, were you close?
We were in the 200 level or something like that. So they're good tickets. They're good seats. You know, but still, like, not like we're up on stage.
Right.
You know, and
that's really expensive.
Yes, it would have been. And he, you know, two nights. That place was packed both nights, by all accounts. He's rolling out of there making a ton of cash.
Yeah.
And then he's off to the next town. He's doing it all over again. But again, when we're talking about adult entertainment, I'm not talking about peelers here, but like going to Keith Urban. But it just feels like the Wiggles really rattled me. I don't know if you're picking up on this.
I am.
The Wiggles, you're gonna make extra money off kids trying to go to concerts.
I got to tell you my Smite of the Scalper story real quick. At the Olympics in Torino, we couldn't get CBC pulled our credentials for Bob McKenzie, myself, and our other crew.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to buy tickets from scalpers. Smite of the Scalper from Montreal was there every day. He'd sell us tickets to go to hockey games. So I see him in 07, in May, I hear in Ottawa, the Stanley Cup Final. Hey, Gord. I look, there's Smiley being loaded into a police car. He's like, can you help me out here? I just kept walking.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Sorry, Smiley. Are again? See you later, dude. Thanks for the tickets, though. Zach Hyman in studio next. All right, big show today. Kyle Dubas coming up just after 6 p.m. Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays, just after 5. We've got to get into the return of Jose Bautista. Very typical outing for him last night. 3 walks. His plate discipline's been great recently with the Mets.
Scored a run.
Great game, actually, last night. Big comeback for the Blue Jays. And
great welcome, too.
As it should be. You know, he's one of the all-time great Jays. We talked about this yesterday. But I like that they put together the video montage. I like that whenever he got up to the plate, he got an ovation. And he reacted to that his first time at the plate. And I'm sure he'll get that again tonight. And
it bugs you when, I don't know if it bugs you, but when Brett Favre is on bad terms with Green Bay or, you know, like you don't.
Yeah, I'm a Packers fan.
Right.
And Favre's my favorite player of all time. Although I got to say, Aaron Rodgers is starting to push him around a little bit in terms of that mantle, but that was very difficult to handle. And I still think he went to Minnesota out of spite. Now, it worked for him, got to a conference championship game. And
but don't you, no matter what happened, at some point, you got to remember the good part and not how it ended. And it ends bad a lot of times, right?
It does. Yeah, it does. And it was a little bit sticky, but Bautista played himself out of Toronto. I mean, there's no disputing that.
Even he said.
The numbers were what they were. So we'll get into that later this afternoon. Again, Ross Atkins just after 5 p.m. Zach Hyman in the building. He'll be in studio in 2 minutes. Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Okay, we've got an author in the house and a hockey player. But his new book is out, and he's here to promote it. It's a children's book, The Magician's Secret, available wherever books are sold. This is his third book out. He's going to be at Yorkdale at the Indigo on Saturday, July 7th at 11 a.m. He is author and Maple Leaf, Zach Hyman. What's up, Zach?
How you doing, guys?
Zachary Hyman, the book says.
That's my pseudonym.
I was going to say.
It's my book name.
Right.
That's your nom de plume. Everybody throws everyone off.
Exactly.
Much more sophisticated, Zachary.
Oh, for sure.
That. All right, I just read the Skip the Dishes app read, and we got to get right to this in a minute.
Okay.
We'll get to this off the top. We'll get to the book and all the other stuff that's going on. Gord made a claim out of the gate, and I am quite curious about this, and I find it hard to believe because I don't think you grew up in this neighborhood. I did. I grew up in North Toronto. Gord lives in North Toronto. He claims you are a legend at the Burger Shack.
He's not wrong. I mean, what jersey's hanging there, Gord?
So how, though? I've been in the Burger Shack.
There's pictures of you in minor hockey, right?
What's your connection to the Burger Shack?
I grew up in the area. So.
You grew up in around Avenue and Eglinton?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, right around there. So I played a bunch in North Toronto. My select was in North Toronto, the NT Green, green and red. And after games, we'd always go to Burger Shack, get a burger. My mom still picks up I got 4 brothers, so she still goes to Burger Shack, texts us, what's your order?
That's a great place, man.
And we get stuff there. It's great, yeah.
I had no idea. I thought you were from north of the city. I didn't know you grew up in...
Right in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Burger Shack's a great spot.
You drop Zach's name at the Burger Shack? The doors fly wide open.
I've only been in there at like 3 in the morning, and well, generally I'm not in a position to really say anything, quite frankly. I roll in and just say burger, fries, gravy, and somehow I get kicked out of there. It is a great spot. So that is not fake news. You are a legend at the Burger Shack.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's the best burgers in town, for sure.
There you go.
I'm promoting them here. So.
Yeah,
so
we've been giving them free pub all day. So no, it's great to have you in here. So how many people, you're going to be at Yorkdale again on Saturday. So this is your third book. We've talked to you about this before. And your passion for this. Do you expect anybody to show up at Yorkdale and have no idea that you're a Maple Leaf and only think this is the great Zachary Hyman, the author of children's books?
They would definitely know me by Zachary if they only knew me as the author name, for sure. So, you know what? I'm going to ask, I'll ask everybody in line if they know Zach Hyman.
Wouldn't that be actually really impressive and cool, though? Like, because this is, again, you got a passion for it.
Yeah.
And obviously, in the city, people know you as Zach Hyman from the Maple Leafs, but is there a part of you that wants people to show up and only know you as the author?
Yeah, you know what, it is cool, actually, because sometimes I go to the school visits, and they only promote it as the author. And the kids, once they get, I get introduced as a hockey player, they all go, oh, he plays hockey too? So like when I first go there, they just see me as the author, which is kind of cool that they get excited for the author part.
What's the key to writing a kid's book? I think everyone thinks they could write a children's book, but it's actually quite difficult.
Oh, it's way harder than you think. The key, I think, for me, I always have trouble with just keeping the word count down. You got to make sure that, you know, you have a great story and that kids can actually read it and understand it, because you're going for a kid's age group. But you got to make sure that it's not too many words, that they don't get too overwhelmed by it and that they understand it. And for me, I make sure that each one has an important message. So it's a big combination of things.
What's the message in this one?
This one is whatever you believe you can achieve. So it's a, you know, believe in yourself kind of book. It's an imagination book, adventure book, and that's the main theme.
Any movie plans in the future? I mean, do you want to maybe talk to Treehouse, Disney Junior? Can you move this into a TV show, or does that ever pop in your mind? Or
yeah, what? I mean, I have the rights, I guess. So, you know, if you want to push that,
absolutely.
Feel free to contact us.
Why not?
What were the children's books that you read that you remember that had an impact on you?
I mean, Hockey Sweater is a classic, even though we got the different colors, but that's a classic that I think I read. And I mean, I don't remember many of them, but I just remember always gravitating towards the one with the cool pictures, and that's why I think the illustrations.
This is illustrator. How'd you come across Joel Blum, the illustrator?
So I sent him the copy of the book. We saw his work. He has one book another one of his books is like an Academy Award winning book. He sold 1 million copies. So I wanted to just shot in the dark, kind of send him an email off. And he loved the story. So we sat down in Toronto and I shared the story with him, and he told me about his connection with his grandfather and how that resonated with the book, which is heavily based on my connection with my grandfather. And he loved it, and he wanted to do it, and I was just thrilled that he took it on.
The new book is The Magician's Secret, available wherever books are sold, and Zachary Hyman is in studio, and he's going to be at the Indigo at Yorkdale Saturday, July 7th at 11 a.m. Pretty wild weekend in the hockey world.
Oh, yeah.
What were you tracking it? I mean, take us to back last week when you heard that Dubas and Shanahan and Babcock were in LA and they were meeting with Tavares, and I guess there was a shot that he was potentially going to come here. What was that like? Were you tracking it daily?
Yeah.
Every hour? I mean, because
no.
You know how fans were freaking out about it.
For sure.
This.
And I mean, everybody has Twitter nowadays, so I scroll through my Twitter feed, and half it's obviously about John and where he's going. And you know, I also want to check out where my buddies are going too. I mean, a bunch of our guys were free agents, and you don't know where they're heading, obviously. So it was definitely an interesting week.
What's that like? I mean, the idea of landing a big fish. You guys are a really good team. And now you got Tavares, who's from Toronto, 2 years older than you. Do you remember him growing up? You would have been playing just before him in the GTHL, right?
Yeah, obviously he was, you know, he was a big name growing up too. He was always at the top of his class, and when he played with the Marlies or with the London Knights, and all throughout the OHL and upwards, and he's always been a world class player. So obviously I knew who he was. I didn't have the same acumen. I kind of went to college and did a different route, but everybody knew who he was, obviously. And it's pretty special that he chose to kind of come home and to join our group. So we're really happy about it, and you know, it shows a lot about a Toronto kid wanting to come play in Toronto.
Well, you talk about that. What are the greatest challenges to being a Toronto kid playing for the Leafs?
Well, I think there's a handful of us who have been playing here for a little bit, and we're younger, much younger than John is, obviously, and we kind of just came into the league, and we wanted to just, you know, put our best foot forward and help this team. And I think that when you come from Toronto, you understand how important you know, the Leafs are to the city of Toronto. And I think that's a big reason that you know, John came, wanted to come here, is because he understands how important the Toronto Maple Leafs are. And I mean, as a kid, everybody dreams about playing for them when you're from here. So it's special for sure.
Zach Hyman in studio. You mentioned tracking some of your buddies, and JVR, Bozak, Komarov, Pollock, all veterans, have been a part of the Leafs ever since you've been on Maple mm-hmm. Leaf, and they've all moved on. Obviously, probably different emotions, the opposite emotions, quite frankly, than the Tavares scenario. What was that like, knowing that these guys who have been staples in the room since you showed up are no longer going to be in the room?
Yeah, it's wild, because, you know, even before I was on the team, I'd watch the Maple Leafs, and you'd see those guys playing there. So I wish them all well. I sent them all a text and spoke to them a little bit, and they're all happy with where they're going. And that's, you know, that's all you can ask for as a friend, is for them to find a good place. And it's cool to see everybody, I guess, go their separate ways. But, you know, those guys had such an impact on us young guys. They showed us, you know, the ropes in the league. They're around us 24/7, trying to help us out, kind of get acclimated to the league when we were all rookies coming up. We're such a young team, so it's pretty cool. And then I actually spoke to Nazi today and telling him he's the longest tenure Leaf now. So yeah. It's pretty cool.
Because Bozak was, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So. Zach Hyman in studio. I mean, there's still vets here, right? Like,
yeah.
Kadri's still here. Gardner's been here for a long time. And Hainsey and Marlowe and Freddie. But do you guys, the young core that came in together, yourself, Connor Brown, Austin, Mitch, do you guys feel like you've found your place in the room, so to speak? You're more comfortable now?
For sure. I think every year you try to take a step, and we're all going into our third year now, so it's a big year for all of us. And I think we took a step last year, and there's obviously another step that we can all get to, and you feel more comfortable every year for sure.
Do you feel, I mean, fans have a level of excitement now. Do you feel now like the Leafs have moved up a notch and are a team that will be considered among the contenders to win the Cup?
Well, I think that, you know, expectations are going to rise every year, and from our first year, our second year, they rose, and from our second year to this year, they're going to rise again. So we just can kind of go out there, and we're just excited to get things rolling in training camp. Obviously, there's a lot of excitement around the team now, and we're all excited, and, you know, it's a nice little extra push for us to work even harder to get ready for training camp.
Zach Hyman in studio. Who's the first guy to grow a beard now that Lou's no longer?
I don't know. I don't know what the, we'll see what the rules are.
It's, you think they're going to change? They have to change now that Lou's not kicking.
I don't know.
And Matt Martin still got them, right?
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be the first one to test it.
No.
Yeah, I could see Kadri rolling in with a beard. I could see Hainsey potentially, some of the old school guys for sure. But I mean, what was that like? Because it's almost grown into this mythical story, like working for Lou and playing on a team that Lou runs. And we kind of joke about it more than anything else. But is it really that crazy in there? I mean, is he really on top of you guys as much as people think on the outside?
Well, yeah, Lou's obviously, he did such a good job with our team and just building a culture for all of us young players to kind of grow into and grow up together. So he's on top of everything. So he knows what's happening. He's always in the know. And I think that that's why he's so successful, is because he's always the guy who knows everything and is on top of everything. And I actually texted Matt Martin being like, you gotta keep shaving.
Keep your hair cut short.
Yeah, he's got to cut his hair now. So him and Leo are in that situation. But no, Lou is awesome. And he was great.
You check out the Marlies this spring?
Oh, yeah. They were great.
And what'd you think?
They're awesome. I mean, they won it all. I thought that they were going to do it. They had great everything. Great goaltending, great D, and, you know, great forwards. So that's that helps us a lot.
Do you feel a connection to the Marlies? You played with them for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that something you... Obviously, the goal was always to be a Maple Leaf.
Yeah.
Now you've been a Maple Leaf for 2 years, and you're locked in. You're not going anywhere anytime soon. But, I mean, do you always feel like you're going to have that connection to the Marlies?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think that... You know, one of the cool things in my first training camp when Lou was sending me down to the Marlies is he said that, you know, this is the group that you're going to grow with. So a lot of those guys who are still down there, we know because we play with them, and they're going to be up here too. So you definitely feel a connection with the Marlies, and, you know, the equipment managers, the training staff, we're familiar with everything. So to see them win was really special, and I definitely was really happy for them.
Most games played for the Leafs among the current team? Jake Gardner, 1. Nazem Kadri, 2.
Wow.
Morgan Riley, 3. William Nylander, 4th. You're 5th.
The vet.
That's the, yeah.
What? 180
the
games.
The veteran.
I did not see that.
180 games played for Toronto.
Wow.
That's fifth most among the current group.
That's a lot of turnover, man. That's a lot of turnover.
But that's
with
the game.
Team.
That's
right?
Wild.
That's the game, right? Yeah. That's the league. Right?
I did not see that stat coming. That's crazy.
Is there a number you have in mind? Like 1,000 always comes up, but that's right. A long ways away. Like,
yeah.
Is there a number that you really? Once you achieve it, you're gonna be like, "Wow, I've been in this league for a while."
And I don't think I can think like that. I'm 26, so just gotta you want to stay healthy and you just want to play and you want to do well. So whatever the number is at the end of the day, when I hit it, I'll sit back. And
you're looking at 181 now. You're just like, get me to that opening night against the Habs. Get me in the lineup. He is Zach Hyman, also known as.
Zachary
Hyman,
yes.
And the new children's book is out, The Magician's Secret, available wherever books are sold. Zach's third children's book, following Hockey Hero and Bambino and Me. He will be signing copies of his book at Yorkdale Indigo Saturday, July 7th, down again at Yorkdale, 11 a.m. So you're also recently named a spokesperson for Head & Shoulders.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
That was a confidence goals campaign that I partnered with them for. It's kind of similar message to my books, actually, just, you know, inspiring teens to have confidence and, you know, believe in themselves. And it's all about just being confident in your own skin.
So when you go, but now when you go to the rink, you can't go with your feathers all over the place, right? Like you can't do what I did this morning. I went to the auto body shop this morning, put my car in, like my hair was all, you can't do that now. You're the Head & Shoulders.
You got to grow like a mane.
You got to be like Henrik Lundqvist now. You got to be like Hank Lundqvist.
Right.
You got to be groomed every day now.
Oh, man. I know. Well, that's how it was with Lou. He had to be groomed every day, too, so I'm used to it.
Do you think Dubas will continue with that, or what do you expect Kyle to bring in terms of what Lou brought? How do you think he'll adjust the way everything's operating down there?
No, I think that there's definitely been a culture that's been built here and that's been transformed the organization ever since I've been here, at least. I don't think that's going to change much, but I don't know about the little rules. I don't know what the standard is with those little rules.
I met your parents before. What would make them prouder, the fact that you're an NHL player or that you're an author? I know what my mom would say, because I've written a book, my mom would be like, my son wrote a book.
Yeah.
Now he's been on TV for 35 years.
Yeah, I think the classic answer is the book, but I don't know. I think being Toronto hockey parents, they're pretty proud of me playing for the Leafs. I think that's definitely number one.
Your mom looked pretty happy when you got in that fight that one day.
She's probably listening, so she's going to love this.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. And what was cool is your dad was like, just relax, like chill out. We're probably on TV right
he's
now.
Fine.
Exactly.
Fine. Do your parents expect that when they show up, like to be on camera? Because all you Toronto guys, you like Connor Brown's dad's on all the time.
Right.
It seems like it anyway. Austin's dad's on whenever he's in town. Your parents have been on a bunch.
Yeah, no, I don't know if they definitely didn't expect it in that game. It was actually their anniversary, so it was funny.
you bought your parents' anniversary?
I sent them, like, these flowers. I had a plan to send them flowers in between the second period. I think I got in a fight in the first. So I think my mom thought that she was getting flowers because I got in a fight. So she asked me after.
Right.
And I was like, no, they're for your anniversary. They're for me.
That was planned. The fight wasn't.
It could have been worse. The Primo brothers fought one night in Buffalo, and their parents were there.
Oh, really? Man.
Yeah.
The brothers.
Keith and Wayne fought, and the parents were
sitting. That's funny.
Are monsters too. Those guys could probably throw.
Oh yeah.
Again, the book is The Magician's Secret. It's available wherever books are sold, and Zach Hyman will be at Yorkdale, at the Indigo at Yorkdale, Saturday, July 7th at 11 a.m. and recently named as a spokesperson for Head & Shoulders. Thanks for sticking around. I know you've been through the ringer here, so thanks for waiting for us to get on the air and popping in and enjoy the rest of the summer. 91 days until opening night. I saw that earlier today.
Good number. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
We'll see you at the Burger Shack.
Yeah, for sure.
I got to go back in there, middle of the day, though, sober, and
I'll take you for lunch.
All right. Perfect. I've been in there a ton. I love it. It's a great spot. Good seeing you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Ross Atkins in about 25 minutes, and Kyle Dubas later this afternoon. All right, Ross Atkins in about 20 minutes. GM of the Jays. We'll get into Bautista's return last night. Latest update on Donaldson.
Made some moves today.
Yeah, well, they're always kind of, it's inconsequential moves for the most part. These guys who are not really going to factor
in. Unless you're the guy getting called up.
Right, which, or going down, for that matter.
Yeah, sure.
You know, see you later, thanks for coming
on. I don't know if people realize how good AAA baseball is. Like, how many really good players are in, you know, even the American Hockey League, you see the Marlies, but just how many guys in AAA are so close. And your prospects are in Double A,
right?
you want your young prospects in Double A, but in Triple A, how many 28-year-old guys that are this close to?
Well, and what you always hear, especially about pitchers in Triple A, is they've got one major league pitch that is outstanding.
Yeah.
But the reason they're down there is they don't have two.
I used to do AAA baseball in Evanston. I was the PA announcer for their team. It was California Angels team. Mm-hmm. There was a guy, Ray Charles Chadwick was his name. He was a high school teammate of Dwight Gooden's. He had a fastball as good as Gooden's. That was it.
That was it.
And one night, Mark McGuire of the Tacoma Tigers timed it, and I think that ball is still rolling across a bridge somewhere. It was unbelievable.
Just launching it to the moon. Okay. Look at this big shooter rolling in
Mike
here.
Johnson just rolled in.
Johnny, take a seat, dude. You can't Zoolander in here and not join us.
By the way, this is Johnny just came from cutting the grass. This is when he wears when he cuts. He's wearing a suit. He just came from cutting the grass.
For the record, Burger Shack?
Yeah.
It's a staple.
You're a Burger Shack.
Hal Hyman gets his pitcher on there.
Well,
I don't want to hear about North Toronto Arena.
Yeah.
I grew up playing at North Toronto Arena.
Thank you, MJ. Thank you.
Did you just drive into
this? Yeah, I was at home. I'm like, I got to come talk to these guys about this.
Just parachute in. You're right, though. I mean, how many great players, like I'll bet you Gretzky's played at North Toronto Arena. I guarantee, when he played with the Young Nats growing up, he would have played there.
That was when I was 9 years old, I played for the Young Nats. That was our home rink.
Yeah. Well, I played for North Toronto, the select team that he played on, and so did I. Get me up there. How does Hyman get up
there? Because I go by there all the time. I'm always, whenever I'm driving downtown, I go down Avenue Road, and I'm like, when I'm feeling unhealthy, I slide in for burger fries.
Well, it's a valid point. They can't dispute that.
Less healthy. Not unhealthy.
There is the fact when you drive by, the smoke coming out of the is quite black.
But it smells good, though.
Oh,
the smell is so distinct.
And they have the good parking. The free plugs, but it's a convenient place.
No, they do.
Yeah. Yes.
Although you can get stuck in like an Austin Powers parking maneuver because the angle is weird.
You're best to be there with an SUV you can maybe take a curb with.
And the worst is because the guys are working on the Edmonton Crosstown.
Yeah.
So if you go at the wrong time,
it's a nightmare.
Yeah. There's like 15 guys in orange vests in front of you.
Yeah. That's right. Going for their lunch break. Yeah.
Like, I don't remember, like, the amount of burger joints throughout Toronto that have just, it's just exploded over the past handful of years.
It's a thing. I don't, like them enough to go, let's try out a burger place.
Right. Me neither.
Johnny's Burger was where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Johnny's.
Here. Scarborough.
Yeah.
At Vic Park.
Famous.
Is it still open?
Yeah. They sold all the property around it. They're just hanging.
Because there was a fish and chip place on Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, Penrose.
That was legendary.
Yeah. Best in the city.
And it just closed, right?
Well,
but like a couple of years. Because I moved into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And everyone said, you got to go get the fish and chips at
the place. Right. No rhyme or reason for it. There's a place on Kingston Road, Duckworth's, which is very similar. Fish and chips. Been around for like 60 years. So it looks the exact same it did in probably 1953.
It's funny. You know,
and on a hockey note, John Anderson's was also close to my high school.
Oh, yeah?
Famous burger
on Van Horn,
like John Anderson, the player, had a burger.
He had a couple burger joints, and this place was like a Johnny's or like a
really
shack
famous
kind of place.
Spot.
Yeah, yeah,
like, really famous. Spot.
John Anderson and Bruce Boudreau used to have a golf tournament in Toronto, and the charity was for kids, for equipment for underprivileged kids. It was a great charity, and the golf shirts one year for the quote unquote celebrities were orange. So John and Bruce got up to present the check, and they looked like a couple of pumpkins. like seriously.
I quite like orange as a color. It's one of my favorite colors.
You're a fan?
Because you're slim and in shape.
Rock the Harry Dunn suit.
I would if I could. When I was growing up, I was cheering for Netherlands. For whatever reason, I have no Dutch.
The dueling Dutch?
I have no Dutch heritage, or like. But I just, that was the team I cheered for playing soccer growing up.
Well, they didn't make the World Cup this time.
They are famous for their dysfunction, right? Like the Dutch are famous for falling apart.
When you're 9 years old, you don't know.
You don't care.
Yeah. Cool. Ruud Gullit and Frank Rijkaard got cool hair, so I like them. They were orange.
But I was going to say, though, one of the things I love most about Toronto is the little neighborhood places.
Yeah.
Like we got a deli near our place, La Sala Maria. This guy makes unbelievable sandwiches. Like and there's one of those in every neighborhood. Like just little local spots. It's not a chain. It's not a... Just these little spots you go to.
That's the beauty of Toronto.
They know you know them.
Yep.
I don't do much shopping, so.
No, it's a deli.
Yeah, but I got it, yeah. I know the sandwich.
I agree with you, though. I'm not a huge deli guy. Like, you really got to be committed.
You got to like your meats,
though. You got to be committed to it.
It is.
It's just one of those, this like, this if I'm at.
It's like a sub? Are you getting like a sub, basically?
No.
Like a sandwich?
He has all the meat and cheese there. He gets the fruit and vegetables from the place next door. So you get like a, if you want a sandwich with like.
You're like Costanza right now talking about the cured meats.
Exactly.
In that Seinfeld episode.
I think I am, but
where is this place?
It's at Young, just north of Davisville.
Yeah, this is going to blow your mind. I used to live above that deli.
What?
It's 2021A Young Street.
You're right. That's
where it is. Yeah.
That's exactly. I know the owner. I used to pay him rent, and I lived above the place. I swear to you.
I think it's a massage parlor now.
It might be. Actually, there was three over, and it was a massage parlor, quote unquote. There'd be some characters rolling. We'd just sit out in the backyard watching
just
these
watch
guys
sliding out.
And the guy would come out like, you know, it was 35 degrees in a trench coat.
But it was a deli when you lived there, right?
Yeah,
it's been a deli forever. There was an Italian couple that owned it. A guy named Carlo bought it.
That's exactly who that was my landlord. That was my guy.
Carlo?
That was him, yeah.
Okay, and so he bought it. But you go for a sandwich. They can call ahead of you. I call Burger Shack ahead because I don't like to wait. I call my order.
Big timer.
Excuse me.
Big timer.
You ring behind the counter while I'm waiting at the cash for 20 minutes. You're going to like, excuse me, I got to take a call here?
That's a joke, Gordon.
We want the Miller special? Are you kidding me?
That's a greasy move.
Why?
You cannot do that.
And then you roll in and then just pick it up right away? How do you pull that off without getting the hairy eyeball?
I called ahead.
Yeah, but you can't just show up and pick it up.
You know what I witnessed?
But if you did, I'm at the counter. I'm like, what? Where's this guy coming from?
Right. Especially a place like that. Like, a big part of it is, you know, you're there for the order. They bring out the burger. You're like, I want mustard.
You slide down the condiment line.
Oh, absolutely. Slide down.
So I totally cut the condiment line because they say, I still get the stuff put on it.
Oh, that's a gamble because they may grease you. You may want pickles and they're like,
I show up, the burger's open.
Oh, you can't do that, Gordon.
You slide in and then you jump the queue right to the condiments and out you go?
That is the most gutless
move I might
I've
take
ever
that burger and
life.
Fire it into the ground. Yeah, put it right in the garbage. Say, there's your burger. Go down the way out.
I would boycott that spot if they allowed it. We just ruined all the free pop we gave them.
Things are going south for the burger.
Wow.
Yes.
But La Sala Maria, like, it's a good sandwich.
I lived above this place. I never went in there. I literally lived above it.
You know,
I think I've been in there twice.
He was offered comp sandwiches for 3 years. I never had one.
My first place in Toronto was above Christina's restaurant on Bloor, on the Danforth.
Mm-hmm.
Never live above a Greek restaurant. Never do that.
No, why not?
Da-dun.
The glass breaking all the time?
At 2 in the morning, like every time.
You know what? I witnessed this. And it was because of the moment. I was going through Starbucks over here where they have the drive-through.
Yeah.
And as I got up to the window to pick up my coffee and was paying for it, the girl who's got the headset is talking to whoever's back there placing the order. And I can hear her repeat what the person said. They had sent it in on their app.
Yeah.
But to go through drive-through.
Yeah.
What's the point of going through drive-thru? You might as well just stop and say what you're going to order.
There's no expeditious way to do it. You're going just as long as not doing it.
You got to wait behind the cars anyway.
You guys have thought about this way too much.
No.
I don't even have a Starbucks app, but he makes a good point. Like, why order in advance if you're going to wait in the line to pick it up?
Exactly. You got to wait behind four cars anyway. What's the point of pre-ordering? It doesn't make any sense. Johnny, good seeing you, buddy.
Hey, good seeing you.
At the Burger Shack.
All right. I'll be waiting in line.
Wait in line like the rest of us peasants. And then Gord rolls in. Ross Atkins in 10 minutes.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.